distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure that I accepted Dr. Ivey's invitation to preside today at this cornerstone placing ceremony for this addition to the University of Illinois Research and Educational Hospitals. Construction of this hospital addition represents a milestone in the building program of the University of Illinois Chicago Professional Colleges. The project, while one of the largest in the entire history of the University of Illinois, is the first major unit since 1937 to be added to its physical plant in the medical center. Teaching, research, and public service are the three primary objectives of the university's Chicago colleges and hospitals. This new hospital addition will enable the university to make further contributions to each of these three fields. It will provide facilities for 411 patient beds and will permit the university to handle more efficiently its present load of outpatient clinic visitors, which is the largest of any institution in Illinois. Residents of downstate Illinois, as well as Cook County, are served by the university's research and educational hospitals. Students enrolled in the health sciences on this campus will benefit greatly by this 14-story hospital. These students presently are handicapped by the limited number of hospital beds which are available for teaching purposes. This lack of adequate hospital teaching facilities also has been a factor in preventing the colleges of dentistry, medicine, nursing, and pharmacy from accepting more students. These colleges have been forced to employ selective admission plans and have been able to accommodate a limited number of qualified students. I am happy to report that this new hospital addition is the first of two major buildings needed to make substantial increases in classes in these colleges. The second structure necessary for increasing enrollment is a classroom and laboratory building for which funds will be sought in the coming session of the Illinois General Assembly. In addition to teaching and public service functions, this hospital also will make possible the expansion of research activities in many fields of medicine. To illustrate this point, 9 hospital rooms on one floor will contain special controls for studies in atmospheric medicine. In short, this hospital will enable the university to render even greater services to the people of the state of Illinois as well as to the people of the nation. We will proceed with the next phase of the program, and I certainly could make a long introductory speech, but I won't. I am very pleased and happy to present to you the governor of the state of Illinois, Governor Stephenson.
Mr. Williamson, President Stoddard, Dr. Ivey, and ladies and gentlemen, I enjoyed your speech very much, Mr. Williamson, until you got to that remark about a large item in the budget. At least no one can say that you didn't give me ample notice. I'm grateful, Dr. Stoddard and Mr. Williamson and Dr. Ivey, to have this opportunity to have a part in the cornerstone ceremonies for this huge new hospital on the Chicago campus of the University of Illinois. This new hospital, as you all know, is being built with state funds. It will provide, as Mr. Williamson said, facilities for something more than 400 additional patient beds. It will make it possible for the university to handle more efficiently its thousands of clinic patients, enable the colleges of medicine, of dentistry, of pharmacy, and of nursing to accept additional students who are so desperately needed. And finally, it will permit our great state university to expand its research activities in many fields of medicine. So often, It seems to me that the things that are done by government, particularly by state government, are intangible. And the day-to-day services usually are so familiar and so unspectacular that we take them for granted, or else we overlook them altogether. But this hospital will be something visible as well as useful. Lives will be saved. Human suffering will be relieved, grief assuaged, and knowledge extended here on this spot for many, many years to come. Together with the other projects now being erected here at the medical center by federal, state, county, and by private institutions at a combined cost of close to $40 million, this hospital will bring within the convenient reach of many the finest facilities known to medical science anywhere in the world. And it will stand day and night for decades to come as a haven of security in every emergency for young and old, for rich and poor alike. We have made tremendous progress in the field of medical learning in this country of ours during the first half of this century. But none will deny that we still have immeasurable tasks ahead of us, and one of the largest and most pressing is the preparation of more doctors for the service of their fellow men, to which problem this hospital will make a major contribution. But I think that while we talk about the progress of our physical health, we could show an appropriate analogy to our national health. If the old adage is true, that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, I think we can say that nationally we have followed that homely old medical precept. Certainly our persistent determination since the last war to organize the world for peace and to resist aggression may be compared to the wise doctor who takes prompt steps to prevent the spread of deadly disease in his community. Just such preventive measures must be applied promptly and effectively, lest the afflictions of tyranny again overrun the community of nations. Prevention in political as well as in medical terminology means constant vigilance. The microscopic enemies of society have this in common. They wait to strike when vigilance is relaxed and when resistance is low. Like fascism, the disease of communism, to others we must remember, is a militant faith to be propagated by any means and at any time and any place where conditions are propitious. It's our job to keep, therefore, our resistance high and our vigilance sharp. Medically, we have followed these principles of diagnosis and prevention with happily far greater success than we have diagnosed and prevented the malady of war. It is fitting, it seems to me, that we dedicate this hospital at this time of year, at the time of year that we celebrate the birth of the greatest healer of all. After 2,000 years, we stand again in the presence of the great expectation which came with the birth of the Prince of Peace on a winter's night. The vision of all of the ages has been of a time when the world might find surcease from war and from pestilence, when men might achieve true brotherhood and their full stature as sons of the living God. This dream, this prayer fills the anxious hearts of men and women everywhere at this Christmas season. It's a strange and a terrible thing to contemplate that the same world which builds great universities and great hospitals to cure the sick celebrates this Christmas poised on the brink of a universal cataclysm through which it may have to pass before the final triumph of reason and of justice. But there remains the eternal task of man to fulfill the prayers of mankind. We must confirm our souls in the Christian promise, the promise of Christmas. We must reaffirm our faith in its highest hopes. So let us take renewed hope and courage in the glad confidence of this season, that this nation, under God, may witness in our times a new birth of peace to men of goodwill, and that this building will, in its time, witness and contribute to a better, happier, healthy, safer life for all of mankind. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Stevenson. I could also wax very enthusiastically about the next speaker, but again, I will refrain and present to you the president of the University of Illinois, Dr. George Stoddard.
Mr. Williamson, Governor Stevenson, members of the board, Dr. Ivey, distinguished guests and friends of the university. On April 1st, 1925, the first patients were admitted to the Research and Educational Hospital. A great dream had become a reality. Prior to that time, the clinical facilities of the University of Illinois College of Medicine were indeed meager. The college had to rely on other hospitals for such teaching and research. The state of Illinois is much indebted to the late Charles H. Thorne, who, as director of the Department of Public Welfare of Illinois, conceived the idea of the research and educational hospitals. It is equally indebted to the late President Edmund J. James of the university, who worked with him in developing the plan. What we now have is the fruit of a bold proposal for the development of medical education and research. This plan was formalized in 1919 by an agreement between the department and the university. It provided that the university would construct its medical buildings in conjunction with the hospitals of the Department of Public Welfare on this area of land, which had been purchased by the state of Illinois. As I understand it, it had previously been a baseball park. Director Thorne, a man of vision, a humanitarian, a distinguished businessman and statesman, saw the need for state-supported research in the health sciences. He knew that we must determine causes and work toward the prevention of diseases if we are to reduce the ever-increasing flow of indigent patients into state welfare institutions. The plan provided further that the university would operate the hospitals, that the department would operate the hospitals, and that the university, through its College of Medicine, would supply the professional staff. A state appropriation of $300,000 made to the university in 1919 for a clinical building was used to supplement public welfare funds for the construction of the original research and educational hospitals. The plan was carried out, but not without overcoming many obstacles. In 1941, the General Assembly turned over to the university the responsibility for operating the research and educational hospitals. The Illinois Neuropsychiatric Institute, the Institute for Juvenile Research, and the Illinois Eye and Ear Infirmary are still operated jointly by the university and the department. Now, today, we set the cornerstone of a magnificent addition to these hospitals, an addition that will greatly expand the university's facilities for education and research in the health professions. We pay tribute to the leaders who conceived this project more than 30 years ago, and to the present members of the General Assembly and to Governor Adlai E. Stevenson. Their confidence in the university's program in the health professions is expressed in official acts that provided the funds required. By granting, in this tangible and exciting way, the askings of the Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois, today's leaders have renewed a pledge, always to serve the welfare of the people of Illinois, and by so doing, to strengthen the nation.